Very good to be here. I want to dedicate the learning this afternoon, the Ilui Nishmas of Zul Chalap, Zechas Agracha, was just very, very recently Niftar, who is Levaya in New York at YU, I believe, is starting in around an hour or two. He's led the yeshiva for decades. It was striking to me earlier today. I thought about the fact that yeshiva YU this year is learning brachas, the last year of his life, and the last time yeshiva learned brachas, Tavshin Samach, was the last year of his active leadership at yeshiva. Because he's a divitol b'vilim mishmaso, and I would love to I'd love to briefly explore something that's at the intersection of Masachas Ksubas and Masachas Brachas in multiple ways. Masachas Ksubas, as you've been discovering, the Shas Katan, a little bit of everything, certainly officially and actually the core topic, obviously, the halachas that relate to the mutual obligations, reciprocal obligations that exist within the context of the marriage. And there are tender parts, romantic parts of Masechus Ksubis as well. A lot of it is structure that's there in place for when things are not ideal, structure that fades into the background when a relationship is healthy and is in place to protect people, and particularly wife, when unfortunately the relationship is not ideal. But there are, Baruch Hashem, tender, positive, warm, romantic parts of Masechus Ksubis as well. The one of them is the Daf Zayin. The Gemara describes the brachas that we say in conjunction with an Eris and the brachas that we say in conjunction with a Nisuin. And the Gemara describes the Shavu bracha we say in conjunction with Nisuin. And as you know, as soon as Arnold Bainaz already got to Daf Zayin, past Daf Zayin, so you saw that the Gemara describes the Birkas Eresin. I'd like to explore some of the layers of what Rishonim discussed there and see, I imagine, the beginning of what we'll talk about our discussions that you've had. I'm hoping you've explored, and I hope it will add in the different directions as well. So you're probably familiar with the multi-tiered machlokas Rambam and Rosh, machlokas Rambam and Tosfos, about the Birkas Eresin. Rambam at the end of Paragimel, Paragimel Lachach of Gimel, he describes the Birkas Eresin. Couple is getting married. They're going through the first stage of Jewish marriage. They're going through the Kiddushin. See, the Rambam describes in the Paragimel the bracha that he said. Kama Kadosh Isha, Ben De'atzer, De'eshaliyah, Tzarek, Lebarach, Kodim Kiddushin, Hu Oshlucho. The fellow is Mekadosh on his own, so he says the bracha. Mekadosh HaDe'eshaliyah, definitely not the most romantic scenario. Mekadosh HaDe'eshaliyah, it's valid, and the Shaliyah is going to say the bracha, V'yachar kach, Mekadosh, K'derosh, Lebarach, from Kodim Kolomitzis. Same way you have a din of Ovar La'asiyas and Birkas HaMitzis in general, so to here, you have a din of Ovar La'asiyas, and you recite the Birkas Kiddushin first, Birkas Eresin first, and you proceed to the Kiddushin, the Nesinas Tavas, whatever format one's using, or the king one's using for the Kiddushin after. As I'm sure you saw, the Rosh, it's interesting. It's an interestingly structured Rosh. The Rosh has sort of two rounds. In some of these days, I think it is, doesn't address the Rambam by name, but addresses the Rambam's approach. First he says more cryptically, and then he starts to begin again and unpacks it. First he has a shorter discussion about when do you say the Birkas Eresin should be over La'asiyas and should not be over La'asiyas, and say Birkas Eresin before the Kiddushin, after the Kiddushin. He says he documents the Machlokas, and he says, he thinks you don't say, or you don't need to be over La'asiyas, and you can say the Birkas Eresin after the Kiddushin, because after all, the Nusach of the Birkas Eresin is Asher Kiddushan Sosavet Sivan Al Harayot, Asalam Sarusos, the whole elaborate flowery Nusach that the Gemara has, since we don't say L'Kadesh Sa'isha, therefore, there's no need for over La'asiyas. So that's, at first glance, a little cryptic one. Was Nusach HaBrach after the over La'asiyas? And then, the Rosh Tov starts again, and he has a much longer Shach Matar, and makes it very clear what he's driving at. He has a series of four kashas that, to his mind, all point to a particular conclusion. He says, it's one kasha about what we don't say in the bracha, and three kasha about what we do say in the bracha. The first kasha is what he had already mentioned. Why don't we just say directly L'kadosh Es Ha'isha? And instead, what we do say is triply mysterious. Number one, Rosh says, since when do we say brachas on Yisuri? Asher lanos ha'arusos. Tzivano ha'arayos. You don't make a birkas ha'mitzvah before shaving with a shaver, not to shave with a razor. You don't make a birkas ha'mitzvah before eating kosher chicken or kosher meat, not to eat nevel, not to eat trefa, not to eat of tamid. We don't say brachas on Yisurim. So it's a strange bracha. We leave out the mitzvah. We do focus on the aveira that we're avoiding. And then beyond that, he says there are two other themes specifically that strangely do appear in the bracha. What is it we talk about? Royos. To discuss Eris and Yisurim, so that's what we're busy with. Doing Eris now and Yisurim is to come. But hopefully the woman that you're marrying is not an Erva, but it seems not only technically you're discussing an Isser, but it seems tzadi. It doesn't really seem relevant. And then finally he says, why are we mentioning Chuppah? We mentioned Yisurim. We mentioned the Chuppah again in Chesim HaSabracha. Chuppah is stage two. Chuppah is Nisuin. Nisuin is that Bizmanenu Anu, our experience, and the experience of Jews largely for the last couple of centuries, has been to conflate the two stages of a Jewish marriage, to do the Kedushin and Nisuin back to back. But that's not made in the Gemara. Why? We have that. The Shadar Brachas, the Brachas and Nisuin. So why we've left out the Mitzvah of Kaddish, we do focus on Nisuin, specifically to talk about Arayos, which seem out of place, and we talk about Chuppah, which seems out of place. So the Rosh says all the four questions point to the conclusion that he sees, which is this is not a birkas hamitzvah. This is a birkas ha'avodah. We're not making a bracha on the mitzvah to get married. That's probably what he meant initially. You don't need to overlap the yasan because it's not a birkas hamitzvah. That's what he meant when he said, you don't say l'kadosh es ha'isha. Meaning, if it would be a birkas hamitzvah, you focus on the mitzvah and you name the mitzvah briefly. That's what a birkas hamitzvah is. As a matter of fact, there are discussions in other contexts of Birkas HaMitzvah. We'll say that in Siman Kuf Chaf in Yeredei and Tfilas Kalims, there's a debate amongst the poskim. You say Al Hatvila, Al Tfilas Kalim, or Tfilas Kalim, or Al Tfilas Klimateches. Some of the Nosek Kalim push back. You know, we're not giving a halachashi, we're not giving all the Kirtan Mitzvah, you're just naming the Mitzvah. Maybe Klimateches is already too much. So the same thing here. Name the Mitzvah. Lakash is the issue. We did name the Mitzvah. We discussed all sorts of other related topics, but not naming the mitzvah. It must not be a birkas hamitzvah. It's a birkas hamitzvah, and therefore, like any birkas aviyah, birkas hashmiyah, it's a bracha that you're saying in response to an encounter. Just to elaborate on that a little bit before we come back to the Rambam. the obvious problem, of course, is what we did say: Asher Yishav Sosav Tzivad. Which is usually a giveaway that we're talking about a mitzvah. So what the Rosh would presumably say is, it's a birkas avodah. I mean, most of the birkas avodah, most of the birkas aria v'shmiya, a very common type certainly, is reacting to an encounter with the physical grandeur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bria. I see a beautiful mountain. I see a powerful waterfall. I say also masturbation. I say shkoku rosam olayol. I say bracha. So lightning and thunder, etc., etc., etc. Shasas yamagadok. I see something that I have a renewed sense of the grandeur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as expressed through the bria, the physical bria. So what's going on with the Birkas Erusin? And you may be familiar with some of this parallel conversation with Birkas Torah. The Rosh would say, it's not that you're making a bracha in the mitzvah of marriage. When you encounter the spiritual grandeur, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, and look at this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a part of life that now that we share with all of humanity, we share with the entire animal kingdom. Everyone reproduces, everyone procreates. Not bad, not good, just a neutral part of being an animal. Humans are biologically an animal, but we're much more than an animal. well, we are biologically an animal, a primate, a mammal, but that's only half the story, because human beings are uniquely not merely a physical bria nor a spiritual bria, but we're a radical fusion of both. The Kodesh Baruch Hu combined a primate body, a mammalian body, with a spiritual neshama and created a human being. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took something that's just a neutral, mundane aspect of the animal kingdom and allowed us to engage with reproduction and sexuality in a way that elevates and is a vehicle for incredible kedusha. So that calls for a bigger shot of Odah. Wow. No less a wow than the wow when you see the Alps. You come to a Jewish wedding. Wow. Extraordinary. The Asher Kishon to the Sosa Vitzivanu here is not presumably part of the formula of the Birkas HaMitzvah. That's the content of the Birkas HaHodah. Not Osa Maserations, but Kiddushan V'Sosa Vitzivanu. Look what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it us with. And he goes on to work on the details of why the various elements are there, but it's not a Birkas HaMitzvah. It's going to be crafted differently. The Rambam goes, now why don't we make a Birkas HaMitzvah? The Rosh goes on to say, well, you don't make a Birkas HaMitzvah because there is no mitzvah. The Rosh goes on to say, he doesn't think that marriage is a mitzvah. It's a halachic desiderata, and we definitely encourage it. All sorts of good things will flow from it, and many mitzvahs will flow from marriage, but marriage per se is not in and of itself a mitzvah. Hefshe mitzvah, perhaps. Highly recommended, but you're not the kind of mitzvah just by getting married. Much as, just by way of a parallel coming up a couple of weeks from now in the Kiddush Torah, the bulk of Parshas Truma is dedicated to making the various kelim. Much of Parshas Truma certainly is dedicated to making various kelim and mikdash, the mizbeach and the menorah and so on and so forth. So the Rambam is of the opinion that the mitzvah to make a mikdash, and that includes making the kelim, not to make a house but a furnished home. But the Ramban thinks the mitzvah making mikdash is just the structure, the walls, the roof, zehu. Making the kelim, he says, is not part of the mitzvah. He says it's not a mitzvah at all. Rambam thinks when you make a shulchan, that's a partial fulfillment of the mitzvah. Rambam says, no. You make a shulchan, it's not in and of itself a mitzvah. You ought to do it because you're not going to have mitzvah lachapon unless you have a shulchan. You're not going to have mitzvah lachapon unless you have a menorah. But it's a hefshir mitzvah, it's not in and of itself a kiyum mitzvah. That's what the Rosh says. The Rosh has more details about Pilegesh. And he says, at most, we advocate marriage. It's a fantastic idea. It will get you to great places. It is not in and of itself a mitzvah. And therefore, the Bavli, like perhaps Yerushalmi, holds that you don't make a bracha on a hechsher mitzvah. Sugya in the sukkah. You don't make a bracha on a hechsher mitzvah. So that's why the Rosh says, you don't make a bracha on a mitzvah, kashasisha, kiddushin isn't a mitzvah. You make a shav v'hodah. While the Rambam writes that it is a Birkas HaMitzvah, as we saw before, and then the Perek Gimel, which he tells us in the beginning of Perek Aleph, the Rambam is very clear that getting married in a Jewish fashion is in and of itself a mitzvah. What the Rosh saw as the stuff of the Birkas HaMitzvah, the Rambam says that is a mitzvah. The mitzvah of Kiddushin is, and he is a fascinating, you may have seen, the fascinating halachic prehistory. He doesn't just begin with the mitzvah of Kiddushin, he opens Hilchos Isha first by contrasting before Matan Torah and they know Achariyam Azeh, that the relationship to intimacy is much more casual. Easy come, easy go. There are rules, but not at all structured in the disciplined, elevating, Kedushin-infusing way that a Jewish marriage is. That's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to engage in intimacy within the halachically mandated and spiritually elevating structure of Kiddushin. That's the mitzvah. That is not just extraordinary and impressive, but for the Rambam, that's a mitzvah to say D'oraisa, and therefore calls for a mitzvah. A couple of additional comments about this two-tiered machlokas. Number one, one interesting atzilia. You know, usually when you line up a machlokes rishonim with another machlokes rishonim, the most common way, just a methodological point for a moment, the most common way that plays out is in the way that we just did. There's a conceptual logical connection between the content of the two pairs of shittos. Right? The Rambam holds that kiddushin is a mitzvah per se, and therefore he holds that birkas HaMitzvah can, and in fact is, a birkas HaMitzvah. The Rosh holds that there is no mitzvah l'kadesh, and therefore cannot be that there's a birkas mitzvah, and so that yields naturally that birkas shavuot done with all the attendant ramifications. Sometimes, though, you have a taliyah between two machloks, and that's not a taliyah in lamdas, it's a taliyah in cheshbon. There isn't really a conceptual connection between the two, but it needs to work out better. And an example is the following. Kiddushin comes up in, obviously, the Sefer Kiddushin, but in a very particular context that's peculiar for the Rosh. At the beginning of the second paragraph of Kiddushin, Mishnah talks about Kiddushin, Balvar's Kiddushin, Al Yishlucho. So the Gemara makes a comment from based on the Deacon language of the Mishnah, right at the beginning of the second paragraph, Dafim Aleph Amud Aleph, Kiddushin, that the language of the Mishnah implies that we have a preference for performing the Kiddushin yourself rather than saying the Shliach. Not only, obviously, from a romantic standpoint, that you're not going to cut a lot of ice by saying the Shliach, nor would you want to, but even Misad Adin, in Mitzvah Bo, Yosef B'Shlucha. It's valid. You send the Shliach for Kiddushin, it's valid, again, in extreme circumstances, and certainly before my communication, transportation. And life was different in a whole host of ways that are hard for us to even have our head around. But Lamasa was going to, halachically, it's more valuable to do Kiddushin yourself rather than Ali Dishin. The Gemara has another example of the Gemara says, Mitzvah Yosu, you know where else you see it, the Gemara says? The Gemara has a long list of various Amaroim and what they did to prepare for Shabbos. If this one was chopping wood, so there would be a warm moment for Shabbos. And that one was removing the de-feathering the chicken, I think, and this one salting the fish, and so on and so on. So that Gemara is difficult for which reason? Rosh. The mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, what mitzvah? The Gemara seems to be very clear indicating she's a rabbi. There's a mitzvah of Kiddushin, and like any mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah. So for the Rosh, it's striking. See, here's what's interesting. Not only is there a machlokas Rosh and Rambam about over whether Kiddushin is a mitzvah or not, there also is a parallel machlokas Rosh and Bali Tosas, including Tosa Rosh, whether preparing for Shabbos is a mitzvah or not. Preparing for Shabbos strikes us as a hashemitzah. Right? I'm going to enjoy, over the course of Shabbos, I'll enjoy the fish, over the course of Shabbos, I'll enjoy the chicken, over the course of Shabbos, I'll enjoy a warm home. That's Oneg Shabbos. And as a necessary action, you should carve the Erev Shabbos, you don't do Shabbos. If you don't do the Malach and Erev Shabbos, you're not going to enjoy it. So the truth is, the Rosh might respond, I mean, like when I was talking about a Hekshar Mitzvah, right? And in fact, Tosafot Rosh does say that it's a Hekshar Mitzvah. While the Rambam writes in the closing Perek of Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Lamed, that in addition to the two mitzvahs d'oraisa, Zachar v'Shamar, Zachar being Saint Kish, according to Ram Havdalah, and Shamar being avoiding Malacha, you have two others, Shemesh Parashah Dei Mevim. And that is Kavod v'Oneg. The Rambam goes on to say that Kavod doesn't only mean respecting Shabbos on Shabbos, by, for instance, wearing Big Day Shabbos, which Gemara identifies as an aspect of Kavod. The Rambam goes on to say at great length that preparing for Shabbos on Erev Shabbos is a fulfillment of Kavod. Shabbos goes on to reference that Gemara in detail. Various Chachmei Yisrael did all sorts of tasks that strike us as menial. Rambam gives a Musar Shmuz. You shouldn't say it's beneath my dignity to roll up my sleeves and help for Shabbos. Adrabah, that's the Kavod Shabbos. And the Rambam is clear, if you read the Rambam slowly and carefully, that it is a mitzvah. The mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos, one's Mekayim Kavod Shabbos through these preparations. It's not really a Hekshar mitzvah for the owner. Rama thinks that Kavod Shabbos can happen before Shabbos. It happens that Rama thinks that Zohar can also happen before Shabbos. Rama thinks that Kirsh and Abdallah are parallel. Abdallah can happen after Shabbos is over. The Rambam is Shittaso. Most of our Quran assume the Rambam doesn't really hold the Tosefta Shabbos. And making Kiddush early means you're allowed to make Kiddush before Shabbos. Sorry, make Kiddush and Abdallah around when you're transitioning from Kodesh to Chol, from Chol to Kodesh. Rambam thinks the Zohar can happen on Shabbos or near Shabbos. Rambam thinks the Kavod also can happen on Shabbos or before Shabbos. Hanagel Yanenu, the Rambam, unlike the Rosh, thinks that that preparing for Shabbos is not merely a hechsher mitzvah. Preparing for Shabbos is itself a mitzvah. So it's fascinating. The two examples of mitzvahs and reshlucho that the Gemara gives, the only two examples that the Gemara gives in that central sugya, mitzvahs and reshlucho, are both examples that are mutav machlokas, Rosh and Rambam, are they a mitzvah or are they a hechsher mitzvah? So the Rambam would say, perhaps in part because of that Gemara, clearly kiddush is a mitzvah, and clearly preparing for Shabbos is in and of itself a mitzvah, while the Rosh says, no, neither one is a hechsher mitzvah. Rather, the Rambam sees a chiddush in kiddushin and a chiddush in kavod Shabbos that these are not merely hechsherim, but these are mitzvah atzma. While the Rosh probably sees a chiddush in mitzvah yosef reshlucha or in the concept of hechsher mitzvah. The Tziv expands in his sefer on the Shiltas. He thinks that there's a sort of middle category of hechsher mitzvah hakasas b'Torah. It certainly has. Buying a lulav and esrog, buying a siddur, that's a hechsher mitzvah the Torah doesn't prescribe or describe. But the building a sukkah, the Torah does describe. So the tziv has a number of examples, making tzitzis. It's a hechsher mitzvah kasa the Torah. So the tziv has a number of nafkaminas, some in the Bavli, some in the Yerushalmi, and he thinks that hechsher mitzvah kasa the Torah shares certain qualities of mitzvahs. So Yerushalmi thinks you say, there's a mitzvah. Mitzvah Yosef Vishlucho, and so on and so forth. There's probably at least four or five nafkaminas. Aspects of mitzvahs that apply, at least according to some, to have this quasi, what then fits as a quasi mitzvah, the Hechsher Mitzvah HaKasa V'Torah. That seems to be part of what's going on in Kiddushin Mem Aleph. The Rosh is saying Mitzvah Yosef Vishlucho applies to these because they are a significant Hechsher Mitzvah. Well, the Rambam says, no, it applies to them because apparently they are actually mitzvahs. There's a Taliyah that's not a Tzliya and Lamedes, no conceptual connection, but there's a Tzliya and Cheshvan. The Gemara line them both up, they both must, there's no conceptual connection inherently between the fact that Kiddush is a mitzvah, not a Hechsher mitzvah, and the fact that Kavod includes preparations, but in Cheshvan they have to be related. So that's an interesting, I think, aspect that flows from this, the one layer of the machlokas, the question of whether kiddush is a mitzvah or not. And let's wrap back around and close with the other machlokas. The machlokas over the nature of the bracha. The Rambam can and does say that the bracha is a mitzvah because he holds that there is a mitzvah. Because the Rosh could not say that there's a mitzvah because there is a mitzvah. And he happens to also use that idea that it's not a Bracha Mitzvah to explain, or as we mentioned before, the four strange features of the Nusach HaBracha. So, 2 points. One is, as Schechter points out in Victor Tzotzim Lam Tes, there is one practical nafkamina, this machlokas over the nature of the category. Of Birkas Eirsin, to what category does it belong? Ram beginning of the Sbrachas, the very beginning, Paragal already introduces us to the three different categories, three or four different categories. Sbrachas, Birkas Hanen, Birkas Hamitzvah, Birkas Shavuot. So this question of to which category does Birkas Eirsin belong? So Shechter points out, Nafkamina might be who is Chayiv in the Bracha, and what do you do when the Chassan for some reason cannot say the bracha. So our practice has been for centuries, Beis Shmuel says, we never allow the chassan to say the bracha. Shlomo, like along lines of Mishnah and Bikurim, Shlomo Vaishas Mishani Ardea, the guy's chuppah, the fellow who has difficulty memorizing or pronouncing Hebrew, is going to be embarrassed at his own wedding. How can you do this to the guy? Yeah, well, so he's going to be the one who, he's going to have to break the teeth, or he's going to be the one for whom he's going to have to call someone else and stand his behalf. So embarrassing. Shlomo Vaishas Mishani Ardea, no chassan makes the bracha. Doesn't matter if you're a master of Hebrew language. Doesn't matter if you know Maseches Ksuvos Baal Peh. Doesn't matter. You're not going to say. Doesn't matter if you're the rabbi of the shul. You're not going to say the bracha on your own chuppah. The chassan never says the bracha. You always mechabit someone else to say the bracha. That's what the Beis Shmuel writes in the side of Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezra. Questions become. Let's say the chassan. So the chassan is yotze. He's listening. He's yotze. Let's say the chassan can't hear. Let's say the Chassan Rachman Islam doesn't believe. He doesn't believe in Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. He's not Yotze. He's a he's a fine fellow, and he'll be glad to make parents or grandparents happy. He'll go through with a traditional Jewish ceremony. He doesn't actually subscribe to Hashem Elokei Melechom. Tragically, he's not. No way you can talk about being motzi him in the bracha. Should you not say the bracha? Should you say the bracha? Should you say the bracha? The kala, maybe it's kala's mitzvah also. According to Rosh, there are other issues also. Shemei Kalana versus Yatzah Motzi. I'm not tied in the bracha. The rabbi's not getting married right now. According to Rosh, all that's off the table because it's everyone's bracha. If you don't have to ski the mountain to make a bracha on the mountain. If you see the mountain, you make a bracha on the mountain. It's a big shot of Avodah. If you're present at a Jewish wedding, everyone, according to Rosh, presumably, everyone is chayav in this bracha. So you shouldn't just be motzi the chasan kaz, be motzi everybody. We don't all sip from the wine, but according to Rosh, we're all yotzei the bracha. So as long as there's someone, the rabbi himself is chayav, he's also present, and whoever else is present, who's listening and believes, is chayav. Now chayav is yotzei with the bracha. That's one interesting practical aspect. The question about the nature of the bracha, and the other one is the following. The Rambam, as I mentioned, the Rosh says, it's not a big mitzvah, and therefore there's no need for overlaws. Yes. The Rambam appropriately says the opposite in Perek Gimel, Halacha Chav Gimel. No. You say it before in Kederach Shem Rav Kol Mitzvahs. Okay, this is a big mitzvah, and therefore has a din of of overlaws Yafsan, as does any other, or almost any other brick mitzvah. And then the Rambam goes on to say, something he does say elsewhere too, but he stresses it here. Overlaws Yafsan not only required, but it is ma'ate. Not only are you not allowed to choose l'chatchila, to wait with the bracha till afterwards, but if you, for whatever reason, you didn't say the bracha before, you cannot say the bracha afterwards. It is li'ikuva. There is no such thing. Is a birkas mitzvah after the mitzvah. Over last yosan is ma'akev, even b'dyeved, in birkas mitzvah. That is position of Rambam. In case you didn't get the point, he stresses, ma'asha nasa kvar nasa. What was done is already done. It is, you have missed your, you can't bring Karm Pesach the day after Pesach. You can't make a birkas mitzvah after the mitzvah has been done. It's too late. Abba z'man abba t'l kabam. Wow. Very good. Vociferous. About that. Not all Rishon review that. The Rosh thinks this has to not be a Birkas HaMitzvah. In general, when you make a Birkas HaMitzvah, the Rosh, I have the Azosh reaction, sorry, the Rosh, you give Masechet Chulin, in the beginning of the first paragraph of the Yom Shechita, quotes from the Or Zeruah, one of the early Chachmei Ashkenaz, and you're supposed to make the Bracha, there is a discussion about Birkas Shechita. Also, Or Zeruah says, no, it's a Birkas HaMitzvah, make the Bracha before, but if you didn't make the Bracha before, make it afterwards. It was wrong. You're not allowed to choose to do that. B'diavad, you already did the mitzvah, literally b'diavad b'sheh asah, so you can still be yotzei shol b'shol musa by saying the birkas mitzvah after the shechita, as long as it's relatively soon after, it's still mitzvah. No hefzik. That's the machlokas. Rambam or Zeruah is over last yosan, assuming you have a real birkas mitzvah, is over last yosan ma'akev and birkas mitzvah not. And this is one of the places the Rambam really stresses here in Birkas Harrison. Absolutely nothing to talk about after this. What's the talk of the pshat? Pshat that larger machlokas that crops up, and the Shuram highlights the context specifically of birkas mitzvah. The following Hezbollah is largely, if not exclusively, from the Rav. Whether Overlas Yassin is ma'akiv or not may relate to why Overlas Yassin is valuable at all, which may in turn relate to an even larger question, which is why Birkas HaMitzvah is all that. In discussing Overlas Yassin, the Ritva, Meiri discussed Pesach and Tav Zayin, Gur Chafal. You make the bracha immediately before why is that the preferred location? The Ritva is very vivid and poetic. And he says there's more than one reason. The first reason he gives, he says the goal of the bracha is to get align your mind with your action. You ideally want not just to have a maisa mitzvah, but to have pnimius and chitzonius working together. That your hands and feet are expressing what's going on in your mind and heart. So we need to talk about, to evoke the machshav and the lay, the theme is before you engage in the maisa, that when you engage in the maisa, your mind and heart are aligned. So that's why you make the bracha before. And then it goes on to other symbolic aspects too. The Rambam, the Rambam, fascinating gig in Rambam. The Rambam writes, when I mentioned before beginning of his brachas, in terms of three categories of brachas, see, he says, Yamek Birksananen. It says, just like you make Birksananen food, you make a bracha on a mitzvah, and then you do the And you should know that the third category, that category is Shavuot. Very striking. There's some sort of equation between Birksananen and Birksan mitzvah, as opposed to the Shavuot. The question is, what is one versus the other? The Rav suggested that, you know, the Gemara is opening Sugya in the sixth paragraph of Brachas, which talks about Birks and Anin, where comes to the conclusion that the idea of Birks, the core idea of Birks and Anin, is that it's Makir and Isa. Hashem Arsimo, the world is a Goshom, I have to ask for permission. Okay, I have the right to use it. I ask for permission by recognizing a Kaddish Baruch Hu's ownership files over the world by saying the Bracha, and then Arsimo Samot Me'ana. After a Bracha, Arsimo Samot Me'ana. So at its core, there may be other layers too, but at its core, Birks and Anin is Makir, allows me to consume HaKadosh Baruch Hu's food. So Rav suggested, the Rambam sounds like he's saying a striking idea. Birkas HaMitzvah apparently is also a matir. It allows me to do God's mitzvah, which at first seems very counterintuitive. I mean, but I have to do it. I need permission to do a mitzvah. I thought I need permission to not do a mitzvah. The answer is, you're right. You are obligated to do the mitzvah. But at the same time you're obligated to do a mitzvah, it's a radical privilege. It's a radical chutzpah. You might serve your country by, you know, being an ambassador to Sweden. But at the same time that it's a service to your country, assuming you're competent and qualified, you don't get to just choose to be the ambassador to Sweden. You have to be asked. You have to be given granted permission and authorization to serve your country by representing your country's interests in Sweden. So, lahavdil, absolutely you're obligated to work for our Kaddish Baruch Hu, but at the same time, it's a radical privilege. I'm just going to waltz into the palace of the king and do my thing. Who do you think you are? I have to ask permission. Is it okay if I serve a Kaddish Baruch Hu? Is it okay if I approach Roshan? I need a matir to do that which I'm obligated to do. Because it's at the same time an obligation and an extraordinary privilege. That is what Ram is expressing. He sees as expressed in the Birkas HaMitzvah. It's a matir. In other words, Nebi Yehuda picks up on this theme. A friend of mine, Brian Gold, points out Ritva. Nebi Yehuda and Tshuva picks up on the theme of Ritva as well. The best Hini Mukha Mazuman is the Birkas HaMitzvah itself. And we'll talk about the ideas of the Mitzvah. So the Ritva idea of the Birkas HaMitzvah is to evoke the ideas of the heart, as opposed to for the Lama, where it's to ask permission. One way, perhaps it's a question whether you're tilting largely towards Ava or largely towards Yirah. Certainly, one understands well, if it's a matir, then how would you say the bracha afterwards? Masha as nasa kvar nasa. I can't now get licensed for what I already did. So we understand well that if you see the Birkas HaMitzvah as a matir, it's a chutzpah for me to do a mitzvah, I need to ask permission. So you missed your chance. You might ask for forgiveness afterwards, but you don't ask for permission afterwards. Too late to ask for permission. The time for that conversation has passed. Whereas if you see it being motivated by injecting the time of the Torah, injecting the heart and the mind into the Maisa Mitzvah, so ideally you do that in advance so that everything is working in concert. If you didn't do it before, at least bring in the Machshav and the Lev right after you do the Maisa. Not ideal, but it's still meaningful. So you understand well why, if the Arzurua takes a Ritva approach to understanding Birkas HaMitzvah, specifically Overlas, the role of Overlas Yasan, then there's room to say Overlas Yasan needs to be, but it's not Ma'akir B'diyadeh. And Ram Shitaso sees it as a Ma'akir, once the Ma'akir Mitzvah has passed, has been completed, there's no room left to speak about saying a Birkas HaMitzvah. And it would lead you to the following. It's not infrequently the case, and this is one of those examples, where in the realm of halacha, one needs to choose one or the other, but the realm of Machshava, both are true simultaneously. So it's that last point. Either Birkas HaMitzvah is Ovel HaSiyasa is Ma'akev or is not Ma'akev, which maybe means either Ovel HaSiyasa is primarily there in order to inject more Kavanah, or it's there in order to ask for permission, which means Birkas HaMitzvah as a whole are either there, right, to, for this or for that. But while Al-Kidin, you're going to have to choose one horse or the other, so to speak. Al-Kidin, either it's this or it's that, but the concepts, the themes, are both true. That the one hand, that sense of awe and of respect and recognizing that Asiyas HaMitzvah is a radical privilege and should be, in a certain healthy sense, overwhelming. Who am I to approach? And at the same time, that there's a richness and a sense of kibbutz alakim and a sense of the wonder and majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and aligning my feelings and my thoughts and my attitudes and my perspective with that of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and expressing that not only internally in heart and mind, but expressing the ma'aseh as well. That the Ava and the Yira are both absolutely meant to work in parallel, in concert, to be two sides of the coin of my Avodas Hashem overall. And these are some of the issues. These are some of the issues that lie, as I said before, at the intertwining of Maseches Ksubas and Maseches Brachas. And again, as I said before, much of Maseches Ksubas is a necessary apparatus that's always in place for those sub-ideal, sub-optimal situations. But at the heart of it all, the ideal situation that you strive for, the way marriage ought to be, is expressed by both perspectives on the Birkas HaMitzvah. It is a thing of wonder, and it is something glorious. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gifted us with the opportunity to elevate the far life, to make it something that's a happy, healthy, holy central aspect of my life. It's an awesome privilege and a gift. It's something that we should look at with eyes of wonder that call for a picture of Avodah. And it's also an expectation. It is a mitzvah. It is a chiyuv. There is a Birkas HaMitzvah. Feel around it. And the HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only gives us the opportunity, the gift, the invitation to live a life of great kedusha in the world of intimacy and beyond. It's worth noting that sacred kedusha of the Rambam is, if you didn't know what's inside, you would expect to find karbanos based on mikdash. They were tarred from the zuzah or davar. Kedusha is dafka all about the areas of life that we share with not all of humanity, the entire animal kingdom, eating and intimacy. That's all there is in the Rambam's sacred kedusha. Dafka, doing them in an elevated, happy, healthy, holy way, are incredible vehicles for Kedusha, incredible gifts, incredible opportunities, and also awesome obligations. It's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu invites us to partake of Kedusha and expects of us. It is a chiyuv, whether or not specifically Kedusha and the mitzvah, Hashem mitzvah, or certainly big gadol, these are opportunities, gifts, that are also absolutely obligations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to rise to these opportunities that he invites us and expects us to take advantage of. Rabbi, thank you so much. So have a incredible aslachim. Continue to enjoy learning. Continue to grow. From with the learning, from the learning, Neshachayah.